soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. So we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to join with me in our Bibles, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, page 1026 in the Pew Bibles, page 1026. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is basically part of the completion of the Christmas story. Jesus has been born. We're not sure how much time has passed, but some of these wise men or magi, in some sense astronomers, they were studiers of the stars, of the constellations and so forth, and the signs of heaven that God would make. And so by that they saw this particular star, which was the star of the angel. So they come from the east to find this child. And so we find that again. It might have been actually up to, because we know Herod had sent to kill all the children 2 years or older. So this could have been a year after the birth, maybe 18 months after the birth. It was some period of time as we pick up this reading today. So Matthew chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Judea, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed from their own country by another way. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." He rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed from Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to try and connect a number of different biblical principles and teachings today, but one of them is going to have to do with angels. We'll come back to this, but I just want to point out that throughout the Christmas story, we've seen angels doing very important functions. Here we see them again announcing to Joseph that they are the other book of Egypt, because Herod is going to try to kill all the babies born in Bethlehem, which he eventually did. And so again, an angel came as God's messenger. But another interesting part of this is that I've heard different studies about this star of Bethlehem, and what it signified, and astronomically, the following star. But that word, evidently, I'm not an expert in the Greek was used, or, but evidently that word could also mean angel or messenger. So it could have been an angel, basically, that was bright in the sky and leading the three wise men. Because it's, you know, how do you have a star stop over the manger, you know, where Jesus was? So even here, we may in fact have an angel that is this. Appeared to be this bright star which was like the guy from the wise man, explaining the place where Jesus was. Okay, so today, and I really think it might be through this year, as the Lord has been leading me, is a theme of through this coming year. I'm going to try to tie this all together and be successful. The theme is living biblically. Living biblically. What does it mean to live biblically? First, it does not mean that we don't do anything unless it's in the Bible. There are some people who maybe profess that. What we do is we do not do anything that is expressly forbidden in the Bible. Okay, so we do not do things that are inside the Bible. But we actually, I believe all churches do things that are not actually recorded in the Bible. And so, what we do is we take those biblical principles and biblical teaching, and we faithfully try to apply those to our everyday lives. And that's my hope, is over the next year, there's so many different topics that we can talk about. What is the essential biblical truth or teaching? And specifically, how do we apply that in our own lives on a day-to-day basis? And we're presented with a remarkable one today, not only trying to tie in the Christmas story, but also the idea of angels. The angels are sent as ministering spirits. But first and foremost, we need to remember that the context of everything I'm about to say is how wonderful angels are in heaven. Everything I'm about to say is secondary to the position of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I don't want to say, Christmas, and here you're talking about angels. You know, what about talking about? The principle I'm trying to apply is who Jesus is, the Savior of the world, who died on the cross of Calvary. But also be someone who saves us in our day-to-day struggles, our day-to-day challenges. How does Jesus do that? Well, one of the ways he does it is he sends his angels. Okay, that's kind of the gist of what I'm trying to get across this morning. First, let's look at how amazing Jesus is. We're told from this author of Hebrews. People debate today about who the author, they don't think they know who it is. I actually think it is Paul, although many scholars certainly disagree with that. But this Hebrew, that's what people talk about, or the author of Hebrews, why don't they say who it is? Well, we don't really know. I think it's Paul, so sometimes you see people say that. Anyway, this letter to the Hebrews, long ago, and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Okay, so this is a very Hebrew person who's his father. Our fathers were the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Jesus, the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. The world was created through the Word, Jesus, the Word, the Logos of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. What an astounding statement. Written to Jews, this would have been an amazing statement, total blasphemy. The radiance of God, the exact imprint of his nature. Of course, what we believe today, we say in the Nicene Creed, he's God of God, Lord of Lords, creator of all that is seen and unseen. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Is Jesus very important? Wow! You know, as some people say, he is the glue that holds the universe together. It's Jesus. Wow. After his purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Okay, so we see this perspective. We've got Jesus, through whom all things were created, through whom all things hold together. We're trying to take that principle and how do we apply it in our daily lives, and we're calling this biblical, living biblically. And one way that God does that is through his angels. And we see that, in our Christmas story. So trying to, that's a lot. So wow, you're tying all these things together. Pretty ambitious, I know. But again, I know you're the advanced group and you can handle this. So, living biblically is our plot. Now, one of the biblical principles that we want to take and try to connect this together is a biblical principle of remembering. To remember. I came across a quote recently by a 20th century rabbi, and this is a rabbi speaking. Much of what the Bible demands commands can be comprised in one imperative. Remember. Remember. It's not just remember, it's in the Hebrew context, by the way, it's a powerful idea, much more than just thinking cognitively and saying, I remember what I have to practice. As with the exit, it's actually re-entering into the event and the circumstance. But the other side of it is simply remembering what God has done. Remember in the Exodus of Egypt, God parted the Red Sea. I mean, can you imagine to witness such a man? I mean, he's got this body of water and just parts, and as they walk through with the wall of water on their right and on their left, they get through it. And Moses waves his hand back, and the waters come back. I would think, once you've experienced that kind of majesty and power of God, you'll never again question his power. Well, again, we don't know exactly how long they took it, but it wasn't too long. They come to various things in the desert. I'm like, oh, can God provide you in the desert? Well, duh. You know, you just saw him part of the Red Sea. Don't you remember the power of God? You know what? Jesus' disciple had the same deficiency, the same weakness. He multiplied the loaves and fishes, right? So they get out of the boat, and he says, something about bread. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did bring enough bread. And Jesus says, wait a minute, guys. You remember what we did with the 5,000? Oh, yeah, that's right. You remember what we did with the 7,000? Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. It's like, don't you get it? He walks on water, and he talks about his resurrection. And when it happens, they still can't believe it. After all the amazing things they saw in the world. Now, aren't you glad that although the Israelites had that problem, although the apostles had that problem, we don't have that problem today? We always remember what God has done, but we never find ourselves in a situation where our faith is tested and being weak and like, oh, what's going to happen to me? Oh, God has forgotten me. Oh, God can't do this. And it's like, what do we need to do? We need to remember. We need to remember what God has done for us. Not just across the country, but what he did for me last year. What he did for me when my son was sick and so forth, you know. To remember what God has done for us. You know that he is faithful to do that. So this is very important. It's something that the Jews took very, very importantly. The function of the direction of God was to hold the festivals in remembrance of what God had done. They remembered Passover. You know, the Exodus of Egypt, when God passed over and set them free. They remember the rededication of the Second Temple at the time of Maccabees, and that known as Hanukkah. They remember the saving of the Jews in the book of Esther, and they called it for that as the Nation of Purim. They remember the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, which is now used as the Feast of Pentecost. And so it was the early Christian saints that also remember and continue this principle of remembering. When would they meet together? On the first day of the week. Why would they choose the first day of the week? Because that was the day of resurrection. And so they would gather together and they would remember. What would they do when they got together on the first day of the week? We're told in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. They would gather together for the breaking of the bread, which we do. And what happened in the breaking of the bread of the Last Supper? Jesus said to them, do this in remembrance of me. To remember what Jesus did for us. And so we gather as the saints of God on the first day of the week. The Christian church also continued this biblical principle of remembering. It's a pagan name. We celebrate, remember the Feast of Resurrection, known as Easter. This day celebrating a beautiful time of remembrance of the Feast of Incarnation, you know, it's Christmas. Today, in this reading, we're celebrating what's known as Epiphany or Manifestation to the Gentiles. When the wise men came and Jesus was manifested to them as King of the whole world, not just to the Jews. So we know that as Epiphany, and we remember that today on the Feast of the Gentiles. Next week, we're going to remember the baptism of Jesus. And we also, of course, remember Pentecost when we give the Holy Spirit. So we're continuing basically this Jewish principle of God's people, of remembering. Now that's something we take in a larger scale of these major events. My hope today is we can kind of bring that down to specifics, and that's why I call this living biblically. The concept of remembering what God has done, not only for the world, but also in our own lives. How can we remember something to help get us through those trying times and the confrontations and the challenges that we have day to day? Okay, so I'm going to try to bring it down from the macro and down to the micro. The day to day religion, can refer to that as biblical living. And the big part of that is, in fact, remembering. So that is our challenge today. And then I'm taking one part of that today because we have the Christmas story. And we just heard in our reading that once again, we see an angel appearing and telling Joseph to pick up the child and bring it to him. I perhaps overlooked that in the Christmas story. Again, Jesus is behind it, absolutely. But the angels are really very, very involved in the story. Remember, it was an angel who told Zechariah that he was going to be a child. It was an angel who visited Mary, and back and forth, the name, angel, Gabriel. It was an angel who told Joseph that Mary's child was from God. Remember, Joseph was one of the Lord of Mary quietly. But an angel came in and said, no, this child of Mary is of the Holy Spirit, so you need to keep her and take her as your wife. And so he did. It was an angel who did that. As we heard today, again, an angel told them to flee to Egypt, and then told him when it was okay to return back after Herod had died. Angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Remember that? We acknowledge that as well. So angels just kept showing up throughout this. I was amazed to go back in the Old Testament. Angels are mentioned 114 times, I found, in the Old Testament. 114 times angels are mentioned. Remember, Joshua comes before them, there's the angel, and so lots of these stories, but we kind of overlook that. And then a very, very important part of the scriptures. I look at the Acts of the Apostles, the story of the new church. Angels are mentioned 21 times. The Acts of the Apostles, how they turn. Remember, Peter was in prison. When an angel came and basically drove him out of prison. An angel. So, it's like they're all over, and they've been all over for all this time. So, what is it about, again, Jesus, Savior of the world, died on the cross of Calvary. He's also Savior day by day in our daily lives. How does that happen? As we see in scriptures, he sends his, not only, but he sends his angels to help us and to be with us. Angels were present at the resurrection. Angels were also present at the ascension. Remember, Jesus ascended up to heaven. There was an angel there basically saying to the guy, what are you guys doing standing around? The work to be done. And good work. So angels are very prominent, and I believe are very important for us. Again, taking that and living biblically with an expectation of what the scripture reveals to us about angels. Now, the scriptures actually reveal quite a bit about angels. One is that angels are powerful. We're told in scriptures that we, as humans, for a while, are a little bit lower than the angels. So that angels are more powerful than humans. We can keep that in mind, particularly in dealing with the fallen angels. But we're told a time comes when we're in heaven, we'll actually be judging the angels. So in our heavenly bodies, we're actually greater, we're elevated above the angels. But right now, they're more powerful than human beings. We're also told that angels are personal. We're told in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. God said, or Jesus says, you know, beware of these little ones because their angels are before the throne of God and serve him day and night. So this is really a concept of guard and angel. So it's very biblical. I believe, you said these little ones, I believe all of us have an angel that's been assigned to us, a guardian angel. And in fact, I really appreciate the, again, this is not in the Bible, but Frank Peretti's books about, present darkness and so forth. And he presents it, I think, is certainly, according to biblical principles, that angels are empowered by the prayers of the saints. So these angels get ready to fight this big fight, like, no, we need more prayer power. Tell the saints to get together and pray, pray, pray. So our prayers, I just like that concept, our prayers, you know, are basically empowering the angelic host of heaven against the forces of darkness that they continue to battle. Another concept that I like, again, it's not in the Bible, is, you know, we have a guardian angel. One day we're going to meet our guardian angel in heaven. I mean, for some of us, we're going to see this angel's kind of bent over, got a broken wing, you know, and bumps and bruises all around. Boy, you have no idea what you put me through. People are going to say, oh, poor God, poor Christ, he has a generous, but think about the mind. And the other thing I absolutely believe is the end of the say, by the way, you have no idea what you like saved you from, but you have no idea. Times like six, oh boy, I remember that time you have no idea the time. You have no idea, buddy, what I did for you. And all these bumps and bruises they've got. So anyway, I think this concept of guardian angel is something personal and in a sense of biblical that we use as children of God, have an angel before the come. Angels are helpers. We heard in our reading from Hebrews. Are they not ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are inherit salvation? Who are those who are to inherit salvation? It's us, the saints of God, the holy people of God. And so what are they? They're ministering spirits. They're there to help us. That's the purpose of angels. That's according to God's purpose. They're messengers. We see that repeated. They're the ones who bring messages from God. Don't do this. Don't do that. Flee to Egypt. Here's this danger. You know, stay away from this. Don't go here. Go that. I believe we get these messages a lot more than we give credit to. That's why one of them comes today. Being aware of the importance of angels and how God views them. And here's perhaps the stickiest part, maybe what we see in Scripture, but it doesn't, I think, dawn on us, maybe. Certainly something I've never was taught when I was growing up. Evidently, angels can appear as humans. In Hebrews, St. Peter in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, talks about hospitality. It says, practice hospitality, because in helping strangers, you could be entertaining angels unaware. Entertaining, and you don't even know that they are angels. Wow. So evidently, they appear as other human beings, which to me is an amazing thing. I would love to have time to just kind of share different people's experience with angels. I've had a number of experiences that I then go back to, like, wow, that person was an angel. God sent that person to me. And I've heard people say that, and they talk about something happened, this person showed up, and I'm like, I bet that was an angel. And people are like, you know, I think you're right. I think that was an angel that God sent me, you know, to help me. And so if you've had experiences of that, hold on to them. You're not crazy. You're not crazy. It's very biblical, I believe. They can appear. In fact, we probably have angels in this church, and we don't even know them. I said something to somebody the other day, and said, I know somebody in our church who's an angel. And I, yes, I believe that person's an angel. So we also can be angels in a sense, you know, being God's vehicles, I guess, or messengers to help somebody else. Again, I've got stories I can share, but I absolutely believe that part of this is angels are powerful, angels are personal, we each have a guardian angel, they're helpers, they're messengers, and can appear as human beings. So we have no idea. Looking around. So again, this is the idea of living biblically. To take the concept of Jesus as Savior, apply it to my everyday life, and say, how is Jesus my Savior day in and day out before the congregations and chapters that I have? One way is if he sends his angels to be with us, to guide us, and to guard us. Mark is a very powerful thing, particularly it was powerful in the early church. I saw this painting about maybe 15 years ago, and it struck a memory in me. You see, again, it's a memory, just remember. I grew up with this painting. It was in our house, and I had forgotten about it until I saw it. All of a sudden, it's a strange concept, whatever, and all of a sudden something struck inside of me. I'm like, I remember that. I remember what it taught me without even the words. Yeah, this is the beauty of art. In the early church, remember, they didn't have Bibles, so basically, the beauty of art is stained glass windows of the church. People learned the Bible stories. And so I learned that I had a guardian angel. Whenever I was in trouble, God would send his guardian angel to watch over me and protect me. And when I saw this picture again after about 30 years, it just struck a chord in me. And I searched the internet, I found it, I got a copy, and now this hangs in my office at home. And I look at it as a reminder, see a connection out, remembering a reminder that one of the ways God saves me and helps me is He sends His angels to watch over me, to protect me, to guide me, and to reveal to me the things that God wants me to do. Now, something again along the lines, the way the Holy Spirit works, is amazing, but someone had felt led, I believe by the Holy Spirit, to offer these coins. This is just a coin, it's got a imprint of an angel on it. And the person said, you know, I just feel, you know, offer this maybe as a church, as a gift, you know, for Christmas, and I prayed about it, like, well, it's kind of strange. I don't want to imply at all that these are good luck charms, you know, we got rabbits with. But I was afraid that some people might take it that way. And so I said, I need a way so I can actually do a piece about this. I do believe it's good. I carry a cross in my pocket all the time. It reminds me of Jesus. It's not magic. It's not a, it's just a reminder. Every time I put my hand in my pocket, it reminds me. Remember for a while, a couple of years ago, we gave away those the little red dots of glass, you know, the blood of Jesus, we have it up here, we invited people. Just keep it in your pocket, but if you pull it out, just remind, oh yeah, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. These are reminders of what God has done for us. I simply offer this as another reminder that if you keep it in your pocket and you pull it out and say, oh yeah, God is going to send me an angel for helping me. Now, we do not worship angels. We do not pray to angels. Okay? Please, it's a very important point. But this is simply an acknowledgement, a remembrance that what the scriptures reveal to us is that not always, but many times, God will send Himself to us in the form of angels that we may not even recognize. How many times do we bow down the fears, the worries, and the challenges of life? And we forget that God has done for us. We forget that God is almighty. We forget that God is still in control. This is one way to offer to you. It's meaningful to take one of these. I'm going to leave them up on the shelf here. Some have already taken them. I know we had it out in the fellowship hall, but there's about 20 maybe that are left. But if it's something that's helpful to you to remember, the scriptural principle is that Jesus saves us each and every day. How does He do that? One of the ways is He sends His angels to be with us. So if it's helpful to you, I encourage you to take one. Maybe after communion, come afterwards, you're at the church, it's always a problem. You get your home and say, I want to get one of those coins, you know? So anyway, let us know. If they do run out and there's other need for it, you can always get more. But this is this thing I'm trying to do. I think what we're doing is living biblically. Taking the principles and the teaching of Scripture and looking at it at the macro level, yes, what does it mean in terms of the world? Also, what does it mean in terms of my day-to-day struggles and trials and challenges and temptations? One way, one message for us today is the scriptures tell us that God has angels, messengers, who are sent to be ministering spirits, and sent to help us, to watch over us, and to guide us. Are they anything like Jesus? No. No. If Jesus and the Holy Spirit absolute promise, this is one of the methods. God uses ordinary people as well. So I hope that's a really important point that we'll stick with you. Because this is an instrument of God. There's one place in Scripture where somebody never falls down to an angel and says, oh, don't do that. No, don't, I'm not proud of you. Don't do that. So angels are helpful, strong, and I believe God's messengers. And I believe that we are seeing an increase in spiritual activity in our time now. I believe both the demonic activity, I believe also the angelic activity of God. I'm hearing stories from a number of different people about an increased awareness of spiritual activity among these spiritual beings, fallen angels and good angels. So, be on the watch for it. Be on the lookout. Just be aware of it. Do we have faith in angels? No. Our faith is in God. And the Bible teaches us the principle, living biblically. Watch for the angels. Lord Jesus, help me. He sends an angel. We recognize and say, oh, okay, God's going to send an angel. He's going to help me. And I'm going to give thanks. I hope this comes across. We have time a lot, but living biblically, day in, day out, angels, messengers sent by God to help us. And it's true. It's true. Our brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. If He has ordained angels to be our helpers, Lord, we need it today. We need it today. So be aware of it and remember. Remember God's angel in His plan. The best is truly yet to come. God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close this morning?